Hello friends. I missed blogging last week because I went to Brisbane to visit my daughters and parents. I had a fantastic time. It rained heavily the entire weekend. I love heavy rain, and I love driving in heavy rain. It reminded me of driving from Darwin to Katherine once with a colleague. It was February, and the monsoon was upon us. I could barely see what was in front of me, and bear in mind, this was at a time of unrestricted driving, meaning no speed limits, so I was driving as fast as I could. My colleague asked if I could see the road because he couldn't. I replied, no, but I can feel the road. He elected not to join me for the return drive and decided to hire a car at his own expense for the return journey the next day. I wasn't put out, but, you know, I did notice it. I bet you're wondering how I went with my weight loss dream while in Brisbane visiting my family. Gee, I ate well, but I ate sensibly as well. In my opinion, well, at least in my opinion, I ate sensibly. So the weekend food highlights included a little bit of curry chicken on the flight up to Brisbane. If you are looking at the blog post, I'm really sorry about the quality of the photograph. There was a bit of turbulence and obviously there's a bit of shake with the iPhone there. On Saturday morning, I took Ms. 22 and Ms. 20 to breakfast at Cafe 63 in Chermside and enjoyed a big hearty breakfast of pork sausages, barbecue pork belly, bacon, beef, hash browns. Well, I only ate one hash brown out of the two and some grilled tomato. I left the toast behind as well. At lunchtime, I took Ms. 20 and Ms. 16 and we went to the Sandgate Fishmonger and I had a piece of grilled cod and a couple of small pieces of calamari. Probably the first time I've ever asked for grilled rather than battered or crumb fish. It was really nice. For dinner, I took my parents along with Ms. 22 and Ms. 22, Moto Moto in Chermside. It's an interesting Japanese restaurant. Sort of fast food, order at the counter, speedy food service, eat and leave sort of place. I had a bowl of seared salmon, avocado and green salad leaves with a teriyaki sauce. It was really, really good. I also had a side of two soft shell crabs. They were delicious. I also managed to snag a piece of Karaj chicken, a teriyaki chicken wing, and a pork gyoza dumpling. That was all very good as well. After dinner, Dad treated us all to some gelato. This is the first gelato or ice cream I've had in months. Gee, it tasted good. I licked that vanilla creaminess like it was the most important thing in my life. On Sunday, I was able to enjoy breakfast with Ms. 22, Ms. 20 and Ms. 16. We went to Hermosa in Chermside. I constructed my breakfast by asking for bacon, poached eggs, wilted spinach and avocado. The avocado was coated with seeds and crushed nuts and was really, really nice. All in all, I ate well on the weekend. When I weighed in on Monday morning, I wasn't shattered with the result. See for yourself in the chart in the blog post. So during the week, we were visited on Tuesday night by Professor Krez Eastman. We have a monthly meeting of medical officers who work for the Australian Government Department of Health. And on Tuesday night, Professor Eastman was there. Now, he's a bit of a legend in Australia and also globally for his work with iodine deficiency. He's played a really huge part in the intellectual development of millions of people around the world. And he's shown time and time again the problems of iodine deficiency, not only in Australia, but also China, including Tibet. Now, if you go to my Twitter feed on at Dr. Gary Lum, you'll find a whole heap of tweets there that I tweeted on the Tuesday night. But basically, what I learned was that in China, Professor Eastman assisted the people by igniting the government into making a humongous change and iodized the salt, which rapidly raised the intelligence quotient of millions of Chinese people living in remote and rural settings. I also learned that at the time, Tibet became an unintended control group. There were villages in Tibet where the majority of people had goiters, cretinism still occurred, and in addition to intellectual retardation, growth retardation also occurred. Prof Eastman went in and assisted the locals by introducing iodized oil. The effect was dramatic. What Prof Eastman also revealed was the population problems in terms of poor intellectual development in Australia. His collaborators used the much maligned NAPLAN process to compare intellectual development in Australian children. His group discovered that some time ago, the Australian dairy industry made a decision to change milk vat disinfection from iodophores to chlorine without telling anyone. This had the effect of reducing the available iodine in dairy products. Iodine is inhibitory to bacterial growth, so it was a fabulous disinfectant. Chlorine is as well, but somebody should have said something. In addition, there has been that general move to reduce salt intake for heart health and to not add salt to food. While there's nothing wrong with that, instead of buying and using good old-fashioned iodized cooking salt, people started following cooking fads and started to buy sea salt and rock salt and, sadly, Himalayan rock salt. I say sadly because that Himalayan salt, according to Prof Eastman, that murky, dirty look, it's because of the presence of noxious trace elements that don't actually do anything positive for your health. The bottom line was that the little salt that had been added was no longer iodized, and that salt possibly had harmful effects. Now, iodized salt is used in bread, but with so many people avoiding bread because they believe they've got a gluten intolerance rather than having fed income celiac disease, this has led to a further reduction in iodine in our diets. So Prof Eastman's advice is that pregnant women in Australia should supplement their diets as soon after conception as possible with iodine. The risk of not doing this is having a child who may be a slow learner and all of the consequences associated with that. So changing the subject, I've got so many friends now in the US, particularly podcasters and bloggers, and I love being part of their community. And I was just thinking about Thanksgiving because all of my friends in the US celebrated Thanksgiving this last Thursday. Now when you look up Wikipedia and search for Thanksgiving, it's a revelation to just see how widespread Thanksgiving celebration is. While I know a lot of Australians resent following American traditions and fads, I wonder if we should start spreading the message that Thanksgiving could also be an Australian holiday, but for very different reasons when compared with our American friends. If we did it correctly, we could do something to ameliorate the angst associated with Australia Day and the concerns expressed by Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders who consider the 26th of January to be what they regard as Invasion Day. That is the day that the British arrived and began colonising Australia. I think we should still mark Australia Day, that is the 26th of January, as an important day in our history, but we wouldn't need a public holiday. We could transfer the public holiday to Thanksgiving, which could be celebrated on another day. Thanksgiving could be a day to celebrate reconciliation. Here is where I reckon we should look at the American tradition and use a specific day of the week, for example, the third Friday of January every year. This way, the public holiday isn't wasted on a Saturday or Sunday, and we get a long weekend. Another possible day could be the second Tuesday of November, so while Victorians are off having fun getting pissed at the horse race, the rest of Australia could enjoy some nice seafood, a mixed grill on the barbie, followed by a pavlova. Morning tea could be filled with vanilla slices. I can't understand why those bloody Victorians call them snot blocks. And of course, Lamingtons. After lunch, people could have time without affecting the national productivity to watch the horse race and waste the arvo drinking grog so that by dinner they could sober up and get ready for work the next day. I reckon when Australia becomes a republic, I want to run for president on a platform of a long weekend every month. Now, did you know that the American Thanksgiving is celebrated on Norfolk Island? Slightly different day, but it's a tradition rooted in American visitation during the whaling times. So what do you reckon? Should we celebrate Thanksgiving in Australia? So if you're on Facebook and or Instagram, you've probably seen, if not participated in, the Black and White Challenge. It's been fun shooting a photograph every day, editing it to black and white, and then posting it to Instagram and then out to Facebook and Twitter. I wouldn't say these photographs are any good, but it was fun. The idea is not to include people you know, and you don't provide any explanation as to why you shot the photograph. I've put a gallery up of the black and white photos I've shot in the blog post. So this week on the Medical Fun Facts podcast, I talk about scabies. The show will drop on Monday night at 7 p.m. Canberra time. I'm also trying something different. Rather than the usual fake video with just a thumbnail of me and you don't actually see anything moving in the YouTube video, I've I've made a Apple Keynote slideshow with a voiceover. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway, please take a look. So that's it for the podcast. I just thought I'd do this voiceover of this blog post so that people who have trouble reading might be able to listen and hear what I have to say. Thanks very much. Catch you later. Bye.